Wide receiver for the Pittsburgh Steelers. It is still a position that the Steelers must address. It's been years, and we're still talking about the wide receiver position being a top need for the Steelers as we enter the 2026 NFL draft in Pittsburgh. I know we need a guard, and right now we don't really have a starting left guard. But if you were to ask me, the number one position the Steelers need to address and address it early, dare I say double dip, is still the wide receiver position. Despite the addition of Michael Pittman, we still need someone in the slot. We still need that eventual number one receiver. We still need someone to blossom under DK and Michael Pittman. That is what we're going to talk about in this episode of the Steelers Culture Podcast. Thank you guys for tuning in. This episode is powered by Prize Picks. We wrote down 13, lucky number 13 names in regards to the Steelers and them showing interest to those specific names. Now, there's names here that we didn't write down based off of the fact that there isn't much interest in regards to the Pittsburgh Steelers. That goes to show you that even though we wrote 13 names down, there's other really good receivers that are going to make for some really good and trusted pros. That's how stacked this receiving class is, dude. It really is. And I mentioned, they need to double dip at the position. Right now, we got DK, we got Pittman, we got Roman Wilson, we got Ben Skoranek. That's it.
That's basically the gist of it. Yeah, everybody else is, of course, camp bodies and practice squad people. But yes, like that's basically the gist of the core wide receiver room. They still need a number three, a slot option, to work there initially. And they could use another backup or even competition for a guy like Roman Wilson. They still need to stack that position completely.
I agree. And what they need more specifically when it comes to addressing receiver early, they need that slot receiver, but more so that route technician, that separator. You have DK, you have Pittman on the outside, right? Which is, you know, you got the speedy big guy, that tough receiver in DK that can go up and high point the ball, right? He can, he's a bit of a yak guy as well. Don't underestimate his yak ability. Pittman's more that possession receiver, that physical demon that will literally win the 50-50 matchups for you. We don't have the route guy. We don't have that route technician. We don't have that separator. We haven't had that in a long time. That's what the Steelers need to address. When it comes to the wide receiver position, that is what we're looking for. And there's a bunch of those types of receivers in this draft class, which makes for the perfect draft class for the Steelers to go out and grab their guy. They can start out in the slot and then eventually blossom eventually to their wide receiver one. We've mentioned this guy's name several times.
Yes, and if you guys have been following us, he is number one in our draft boards, and that has not changed and it will not change up until draft night in Pittsburgh, which we will be there in attendance. The number one guy on our draft board and at the wide receiver position in this draft class, in our opinion, is Mekhi Lemon, wide receiver out of USC.
Yeah, if there is one receiver that we want, or there's one player specifically that we really want, it's Mekhi Lemon. Vega is a very close two.
Very close.
And then at that point, you're probably talking like a Jordan Tyson or an Omar Cooper. And then it really gets into all the other positions like corner and linebacker, right?
Safety even, right?
Yes.
Because they looked at one.
But the number one guy that we want, and we've mentioned this for months, is this guy right here. Mekhi Lemon. This guy, in my opinion, is the number one receiver in this class. Now, like I mentioned, how stacked receiver is. There is one guy that's probably going to be the number one receiver off the board. His name is Cardale Tate. He's not going to be a Steeler. As much as I would love him to be a Steeler, because he is literally like the perfect specimen at receiver. He's a natural separator. He's got that yak ability. Strong hands. He had no drops last year.
None.
Cardale Tate is a demon.
But he's not going to be a Steeler. I would say it's a very, never say never, but it's a slim possibility he's a Steeler.
Like Mike Tomlin said, never say never, but probably never. I mean,
the reunion between him and Howard probably isn't going
to
happen.
No, he's probably going to go as high as six to the Browns, and I would hate that.
And my condolences to him and his career as a Cleveland Brown.
But as good of a receiver as Tate is, and he'll probably be the number one guy off the board, in my opinion, Lemon is my number one receiver out of this entire class. To me, it's Lemon, Tyson, then Tate. Just my opinion. But frankly, that the way those receivers are selected might be completely opposite. Tate might go first. Tyson could go second or third or fourth. We don't know. But Mekhi Lemon, like I keep saying, this could be a carbon copy of how the Seahawks were with Jaxon Smith-Njigba coming out of the Ohio State. They already had DK. They had Lockett. Then you had Smith-Njigba start out in the slot his first 2 years.
Yep.
And then once Lockett and DK were out of town, he moved to the outside, had one of the best seasons out of any Seahawks receiver ever. And they've had some damn good receivers.
Offensive player of the year, bro. Super Bowl champion.
I think Lemon could be like a carbon copy of that for the Steelers. You got DK. You got Pittman. You put Lemon in the slot. Then eventually, Pittman will be out here in about 2 or 3 years. DK, to be determined. You move Lemon outside, he's your eventual number one.
Yeah, you carry that same principle to the Steelers right there, especially with the new coaching staff and whatnot. It's just a good foundation, especially for a player like Lemon who does everything that you want in a wide receiver. Route running, he's fast, he's got toughness, he's got competitive work ethic at that, and consistent hands and ability to break tackles with the yak ability. Like, he does it all to exactly what you want. And put him in the slot, it's a perfect start for him.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, he has similarities to JSN in his play style. I've said this many times, I think his play style, my comp to him is Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yeah.
I think it's not far-fetched considering St. Brown was a fellow Trojan in his own right, but even then, just his similarities and just you see how he plays on the football field and how he catches the ball and just his toughness, it just speaks of St. Brown to me.
No, I think he's a bit of a smaller Puka. Like that impact guy, that big play receiver, you know, that guy you can rely on and give targets to 8 to 10 more times a game. You know, he's that kind of receiver. He's someone that's always going to make plays. He's someone you can always rely on in big moments. That's the guy that Lemon is to me. That's why he's our number one in terms of most desired player we want the Steelers to select. And the Steelers did indeed bring him in for a top 30 visit.
Yes, they did.
Which is going to get my hopes up drastically.
Listen, man, the fact that they brought him in for a visit shows that there is legitimate interest, and it's not hard to see why, just based off what he brings to the table.
Now, yes, he did primarily play in the slot, USC, which is where he would start for the Steelers if the Steelers were to trade up to get him if they needed to, or
if he falls
by any chance, anything crazier things have happened, he drops.
Yeah, for one reason or another, which I don't believe in. No, by the way,
Ian Rappaport mentioned he thinks that he could get past 15.
I double dog any other team to let that happen.
I double dog dare any team to let that happen.
Please let that happen.
And no, I'm not worried about any character issues because of his combine interview. Oh, no. He's a weird guy. I don't care if he's a weird guy. Pickens is a weird guy, but he's one of the most dominant receivers in the game. Lemon, bro, you bring him in, he's that route technician, he's that separator. Yeah, he played in the slot, but he's got the route running ability to get open to work outside. He's your eventual number one splash guy. That's how I view a guy like Mekhi Lemon. I think he's going to have a very successful career.
Yeah, big time.
Another guy that's going to have a successful career, in my opinion, if he can stay healthy, is Jordan Tyson. Now, Jordan Tyson obviously has injury concerns.
Yeah, that's the biggest question mark with Tyson because, I mean, when you see him play on the football field when he's healthy, he might arguably be the number one receiver in this draft class. It's debatable. It really is. He's top three, no doubt about it.
If it wasn't for his injury concerns, he would be my number one. Now, based off skill, he's probably number one. But when you venture in, you know, injury concerns and can he stay healthy, right? Never had a completely healthy season.
Never.
So thus, you know, it's gonna drop down some cool points, I guess, right? But Tyson is just a dog, dude. He's a lot like Lemon in terms of that splash ability and that route running. And how he can separate easily, right? His footwork is crazy. He's a lot bigger than Lemon too. I mean,
6'2", 203. He's a big body guy. He's a gifted athlete, dude. And his route running for his size is very good. He can beat man coverage. He's got the speed and strength to do so. He's got strong hands. Rarely drops the football, which is what you want.
He's a naturally gifted receiver,
big time. And he can track the ball and is a huge end zone target. And as a matter of fact, 2024 is where he started to break out. At Arizona State, which, funny enough, was when Arizona State, when the Red Devils, or the Sun Devils, excuse me, hired Hines Ward to be the wide receiver coach.
My favorite story of all time.
That's when he started to break out. And in just two seasons, he finished with 136 receptions, 1,812 yards, and 18 touchdowns in 2 years, wow. Starting 21 games.
Wow. Now, imagine if he stayed healthy.
If he stayed healthy, bro, them stats, I mean, we're talking, he's probably over Cornell Tate, if we're being real here, if he can stay healthy, but that's the issue, is the injuries, because he sustained a torn ACL, MCL, and PCL in 2022 when he was at Colorado. Mm. In 2024, he sustained a season-ending broken collarbone that caused him to miss the college football playoffs that year. In 2025, he dealt with a lingering hamstring injury that's still affecting him to this day, to a point it's caused him to miss drills at the combine and even at his pro day.
Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with his hamstring. But that's some serious stuff.
It is.
He's missing out on legitimate, like, drills and performances in front of so many teams.
Yeah. Which is why the red flag of him is the injuries. It's no joke.
You know, I would not be surprised that because of that. Listen, injuries, players fall to injuries a lot. Like, look at the Steelers, for instance. A lot of their players they've gotten under Omar Khan, they fell because of injuries. Peyton Wilson.
Darnell Washington. Troy Fatanu. The guy was supposed to be a top 10 pick, but he fell to pick 20 because of knee concerns.
Derek Harmon. Same thing. A lot of the Steelers' top picks the past couple years under Omar Khan have been mostly because they fell of injury concerns. Tyson, I think he's going to fall because of injury concerns. Like, they literally scare a lot of front offices in the NFL, and I get it. It's a huge gamble, especially with a pick that high. If Tyson can stay healthy, obviously the gamble's worth it, but that's a big if. Frankly, man, I'm going to be real with you. If he's there at 21, and it depends on how the board falls. If he's there at 21, I mean, how do you pass on that? Because his talent is completely worth it. Now, the Steelers, they haven't brought him in for a top 30 visit as of this recording. Hopefully that changes. If the Steelers can bring in Peyton Wilson, who doesn't have an ACL on one of his damn knees, if they can clear Fatanu and Harmon and Washington, who they brought in for late top 30 visits, and they cleared them and they gave Omar Khan all the confidence in the world to select those guys, Steelers have the best doctors in the world. And I mean that.
Yeah.
So if they can bring this guy in and clear him of his medicals, Cerro Miedo, Hakuna Matata for Omar Khan when it comes to selecting this guy if he falls, which I think is a realistic possibility. I wouldn't be surprised if he falls as far as the late first round, in which if I'm Omar Khan, whoever you get at 21, whatever position you select, if he's still there, if I'm Omar Khan, hey, I still got 11 picks.
Yeah. Call up the numbers. Trade
for this guy. I think it'd be worth it because that's incredible value.
Get the phones ready, bro. Listen, if the medicals pan out, Omar Khan is not shy to select you. The injuries don't shy away as long as the Steelers doctors give you the green check, give you the green light.
Now, it is worth mentioning, now this video is going to be uploaded, you know, before, prior to this, Tyson will hold individual workouts on April 17th.
At Arizona State.
That's going to be very telling.
Yeah.
And at that point, that's going to be what? How many days? About a week before the draft?
Basically 6 days before the NFL draft date, yes.
Very interesting.
So it's going to be huge for Tyson for him to prove his worth of like, yes, I should be taken with a very high capital, arguably top 15, right?
With pure confidence that, hey, you don't got to worry about my injuries, man. You know what you're going to get come day one.
Yeah.
Those injuries are concerning. They are. But believe me, y'all can see the tape. Y'all have seen the tape. I know you have. We know what Tyson can bring to the table. He's that route technician. He's got speed to him, unbelievable hands, great body control. Like, he's just an all-out, like, legitimate receiver. If he doesn't stay healthy in the NFL, it's going to be a shame and a big what if. But I'm rooting for him. Wherever he goes, I'm rooting for him because talent like that, you know, it's crazy. Like, in terms of talent and skill, he literally might be the number one receiver.
And it would be hard to pass up on him if he were to fall.
Now let's get into probably one of the more safe and, dare I say, realistic wide receiver options for the Steelers. I mean, Tyson, Lemon would be great. One might require a trade-up, one might fall, but if you're looking at a receiver that literally might be there and would be a really good pick, and I would not hesitate on taking him at 21 either, Omar Cooper. This guy's a really good receiver, man. 6 foot, 199. Primarily a slot receiver, yes. I mean, he played outside his first couple years at Indiana and then finally transferred to the slot because of, you know, guys they lost in the NFL and injuries. He moved to the slot. Best thing for him.
Yeah.
13 touchdowns he got for the Indiana Hoosiers with Fernando Mendoza throwing him the football. This guy is a very good receiver. He could work a little bit on his separation and route running, but what he brings to the table is he is that tough receiver. He's someone that's going to get you the tough yards. He's that yak guy. He's impossible to tackle. He's a physical specimen. He's a lot like Deebo Samuel, except you're not going to see him line up in the backfield. You get him the guy, you get this guy the ball early, he'll do the rest for you. You want to get him the ball, give him a quick 4 or 5 yard dunk off, he's going to get you another 20 probably. He's that type of receiver.
Yeah.
He's a really, really tough, really good receiver with strong ball skills. He doesn't drop the ball either, so he's got reliable hands. Only 5 drops on 155 targets.
In 3 years. Yeah, and his yak ability, because he forced 27 missed tackles last year, which is tied 4th among receivers with 50 or more targets thrown in their direction. So it goes to show his tackle-breaking ability, because he's one of the toughest receivers that you can tackle out there. He's very capable of staying on his feet, getting away from defenders, and just going up the steam, going up the field, doing what he needs to do.
Yeah, he's that kind of receiver. Like, if the Steelers want to add more to, like, a yak type of performance on the offense, which they really haven't had in quite some time. I mean, Pickens had underrated yak ability. DK has underrated yak ability. But outside of that, they don't really have a lot of yak players. Warren is one of them, because he's Warren.
Yeah, he's Jalen Warren. But if you want somebody to fit in perfectly at wide receiver three to carry that capability at that position, Omar Cooper's one of the best guys that you could ask for.
Yeah.
That can do it.
And like I said, he would be a safe option. I don't think it's a reach at 21. If they want to trade back and fall on this guy later, I think that would be a great value too, because then you would get extra picks and then still grab your guy. But I'm comfortable with taking him at 21. I think this guy is such a reliable receiver. He may not be the flashiest first-round caliber receiver out here, but he's one of the more dependable. Like, he's someone that on Sundays you're going to get such a trustworthy receiver. Like, you give him targets, you give him the ball, you're happy, you're excited, you feel confident. You just know this guy's going to get the job done properly.
Yep.
Like, no worries with this guy. He's that kind of receiver, which is a really good receiver. He may not be the most flashiest, or he might not make the craziest plays. He might not make the most unbelievable catches. He might not make the most unbelievable routes.
Well, so some of the catches he makes, though, with his catch radius and just his body control is kind of out of this world. I'm not going to lie. So he's capable of doing it.
But he's not exactly known for it.
He's not known for it, but he can do it. But what he can do is showcase his toughness, his compatibility, and his reliability. That's all I ask in a wide receiver.
Yeah.
That's all I want in a wide receiver.
Yeah, I think he would absolutely bring that. He's got a really good ceiling in the NFL. I like Omar Cooper a lot for the Steelers. As of now, he hasn't been brought in for a top 30 visit. I would highly expect that to change. Like, Steelers love that championship pedigree in their locker room.
Yes, they do.
You know,
yes,
they got Mason McCormick from South Dakota State, Roman Wilson, Broderick Jones, Darnell Washington. They had Pickens and trade him, which is why we're still talking about this damn position.
Yeah.
Like, they love their natty champions. They love that championship pedigree. Will Howard, obviously. Jack Soya.
Mm-hmm.
They love those guys. So I would expect them at some point, potentially, to draft a Hoosier. They just love that championship pedigree in their locker room, and I get it. Now let's get back into the route machines. You see on the picture there, Casey Concepcion, wide receiver out of Texas A&M. This guy is another really good route runner, just a natural separator. Like, social distancing is his middle name. Like, this guy can really get open. He has in-and-out versatility, which, I mean, Mike McCarthy did mention, like, he really wants receivers that are very flexible. They have that versatility. They can play anywhere. This first round is full of them. Like, you got all kinds of receivers that can really do that on day one.
All kinds, yeah.
And Concepcion is, again, another very safe option. His biggest concern is obviously his drops. He's had 14 drops the last 2 years, 7 each season.
Yeah.
His drops are very concerning. Like, I think this guy has the making to be what a lot of people wanted Deontay Johnson to be, which was that route guy, that separator, you know? But the thing with Deontay is, one, he was a diva. Two, he couldn't catch the fucking football.
No.
Swear jar.
Well, it's funny, because I remember Deontay Johnson. He would make one of the more craziest plays that you could ever see. Then the next play, he looked like the most idiotic player out there that you'd ever see.
But Casey Concepcion, I think, has a higher ceiling and can be what a lot of Steelers fans thought that he could have been, but never was. Obviously, isn't. Where is he at now? Concepcion is that guy. Once he focuses on the drops and he actually settles down and limits those, I think they're more concentrated and mental-based. Right, he just needs to work on that. He needs to get on the jug machine. He needs to work on his concentration to complete the catch and then make the play. That's kind of where it all comes to head with him. However, outside of that, we know what this guy can bring to the table.
I mean, his college production really speaks for itself in both the slot and outside, which is promising to what he brings to the NFL level. Hence is why he's getting first-round buzz. I mean, he in his first year when he started at NC State, he had 839 yards off 71 catches, an average of 11.8 yards per reception and 10 touchdowns. That was his first year playing college football.
Yeah.
So immediately he burst onto the scene and showcased his capabilities. Then he transferred over to Texas A&M in 2025, where he, in his lone season, had 919 yards off 61 catches, which is a 15.1 yards per reception and 9 touchdowns.
Wow.
So his college production is no joke.
No.
It's no fluke right there.
No. Yeah, this guy has performed everywhere he's been. Again, you know, the drops are his biggest concern. 19 drops in 3 years, 7 in back-to-back seasons. That's got to come to a complete close. That does. However, outside of that, yes, this guy is the route guy. He's the speedster. He's got good size, versatility, and got capabilities that you want at the receiver position. There's plenty of them out here, but Casey Concepcion is one of those guys that is probably going to get selected mid to late first round. Like, he could go as high to 21 in the Steelers, but he can go as late to the end of the first round. Dare I say the Chiefs. Just looks like a Chiefs receiver. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah.
However, I think this guy's a really good receiver and has a high ceiling if he can settle down the drops and really focus on his concentration drops. But Casey Concepcion, you know, another guy that Steelers have shown interest in, didn't bring him in for a top 30 visit yet, but that could change. They have, what, 6 spots left to fill?
As of this recording, yes, 6 spots.
They have 6 spots left to fill, so they got to use them very, very wisely. Now, we're not going to lie to you. You guys already know how much we feel about the wide receiver position, and they need to address it mad early, preferably in the first round, in my opinion, unless a guy like Vega falls. Either way, they got to address receiver. Receiver stacked. I'm not going to lie to you. One of the very few receivers we're not very high on and not very high on the Steelers selecting early, even at 21, is this guy right here, Denzel Boston. However, we're going to bring him up because the Steelers did bring him in for a top 30 visit and is kind of like one of the few borderline first-round receivers that they have shown interest in. I think he was the first receiver they brought in for a top 30 visit. Correct me if I'm wrong. He's definitely one of the few as of now. But the fact that they're showing interest in him, 6'4", 212, he matches the build of the receivers that they have brought into the locker room. DK's a big guy. Pittman's a big guy. Boston's a big guy. The way I see it, Denzel Boston, he's got what you want. He's got the measurables. He's got the wingspan. He's got the catch radius. His route running isn't great. He doesn't separate very smoothly or not much at all. And when I watch the film, when I watch the tape, his hips aren't loose enough to me. They're very tight. And frankly, I see a lot of Keon Coleman in this guy, which isn't a good comp. And frankly, he's probably going to go somewhere similar. You know, high end of the second round, most likely. And he could have a better career than Keon Coleman, but that's not saying much. Keon Coleman is not a great receiver for Buffalo. He hasn't turned out the way that Buffalo wants him to.
Yeah, exactly.
Unfortunately, I see something similar in Boston, but perhaps a little better and a bit of a higher ceiling. But I also view him, his ceiling, kind of like a Michael Pittman, which for the Steelers is very redundant because we already have that guy.
Yeah, let me say this. I think he'll turn out much better to Keon Coleman because, one, he doesn't come off as a diva, and two, he doesn't drop the football often. He only had 2 drops last year.
Yeah.
He's got good hands. He's got good bursts. He's got good top speed when it comes to going up against defensive backs and whatnot. And he's brought good production at the college level in Washington. He had 881 yards just last year and 11 touchdowns, as well as having 9 touchdowns the previous year. So 20 touchdowns in the past 2 years. And with his size, that's what you want to see.
Oh, he's a red zone magnet. I cannot deny.
He brings that production. There's no denying that. But your summary on it's his play style is similar to Michael Pittman, I do agree on that. I feel like, yeah, it would be a size mismatch, no doubt about it, at wide receiver, having 3 big, massive guys like that with great speed.
But
I get that.
But they're all identical.
Exactly. That's the issue. I don't think you need 3 of those guys. 2's enough. DK and Pittman, we know what they can do. We know what they're capable as outside guys. Having Boston in the slot isn't necessarily a bad thing. Honestly, that could be a good thing for him to start off at. But I don't think the Steelers need more of what they already have.
No, like, this guy's a high-end wide receiver, too, in the NFL. Like his ceiling is literally Michael Pittman, which is a good ceiling. It's a good ceiling for him, but it's not what the Steelers need. So if there's a receiver we don't want them selecting early, it's Denzel Boston, because we already have that, and it's not exactly what the Steelers need at wide receiver. So this would be a redundant selection, in my opinion. Like, I think he has the ceiling to be a good receiver, just not what the Steelers have to have at wide receiver. You know what I mean? So Denzel Boston, they did bring him in for a top 30 visit, so there is immense interest there, and I guess you could consider him a realistic possibility in the first round, or depending on how high he falls. It all depends on how the board goes. But in my opinion, as a Steelers fan, I wouldn't be too fond of the selection because it's just not what the Steelers need.
I wouldn't hate it because I do think Boston will turn out to be a very good receiver in the NFL. I wouldn't hate it. He just wouldn't be my first choice. And I feel like he would be a better fit somewhere else rather than the Steelers because of what the Steelers already have. I think the Steelers could look at somebody else that could fit perfectly as that wide receiver three. More of a pure route runner, more of a pure playmaker at wide receiver. I just think Boston just fits somewhere else rather than the Steelers.
I agree. I think that would be a better path for him to go. But he is an option for the Steelers because there's obviously interest there. Now let's get into some day two receivers because, frankly, it's possible the Steelers don't select receiver in the first round. They can go anywhere else. Round two at 53, unless they want to get something real fancy, it could be a spot for them to go wide receiver depending on how the first round goes. And another receiver they did bring in for a top 30 visit that excited me because I didn't think they were showing interest in this guy, at least based off the combine and everything. They brought in Skylar Bell out of UConn for a top 30 visit. This excites me because he is mad underrated. I think he's one of the better day two receivers, like a lot of receivers in this class. He's got in and out versatility, good size, 6 foot, 193 or 192.
And great speed at that. I think he ran a 4.4 flat at the NFL Combine.
Yeah.
So his speed speaks for itself and athletic traits to, in my opinion, be really productive in the NFL, especially after putting up great numbers at the University of Connecticut. It was 2025 where he saw an increase in production and put up elite numbers as he led the FBS in catches with 101, yards with 1,278, and touchdowns with 13.
Yeah, like I said, this guy knows how to ball. Now, like KC Conception, there are drop issues with him, having the same total amount of drops as touchdowns with 24.
Not something you want to see, especially playing 5 years at the college level.
No. However, his drops did decrease to only 4 off of 141 targets in 2025. So
that ain't half bad.
It's a lot better than the past couple years in college before he got to UConn, right?
I'd say yes.
So, yeah, I mean, you could say there are some drop concerns, but to me, you know, the only 4 drops last year is evidence of improvement. It's evidence of he's getting better. He's getting better at the concentration drops, and based off his production last year, 4 drops compared to all those catches and yards and tutties, I mean, who's going to remember those drops? That's the kind of receiver that Skylar Bell is. Again, he's a very underrated guy that's not getting talked about enough. His route running is really good, too. He's someone that can easily bounce into the slot on day one for the Steelers, and it would allow them to not go receiver mad early. So if they want to address another position, they can, and then potentially fall on a guy like Skylar Bell day two. Because I think this guy's going to go somewhere in round two, as he should. Like, he's earned round two selection. Like, I think that's how about as high as he's going to go. Maybe even early day two.
Yeah, just a lot of potential, a lot of talent, and a lot of production that can't be denied. I mean, he's somebody that I'm glad that the Steelers looked at as a top 30 visit because looking into wide receivers early in the draft process, he was definitely one of those guys that caught my eye. Mm-hmm. So seeing that the Steelers have interest in Skylar Bell makes me a happy Steelers fan.
Now, the receivers we've already talked about, they have the size, they have the build, they have the measurables you really want, and like 2, 3 number one receivers, right? Zachariah Branch out of Georgia is a bit of a smaller guy, kind of essentially like another Calvin, maybe a little heavier. 5'9", 177. So he's a bit of a smaller guy, and is mostly a gadget receiver. A lot of his receptions, came off of screen passes. 44 of his 81 catches came off of screens. However, what this guy's known for, yes, he's a bit of a gadget guy, which might limit his ceiling in the NFL because there's route limitations and it seems like, hey, just get this guy the ball, he'll do the rest. But that's a good thing about him, is you give him the ball, this guy's got the speed, he's like a human joystick, he's got a lot of yak ability, he'll get yards after the catch. And he'll do it at a very fast and successful pace. Like, this guy is literally like a controller. Like a human controller.
A human joystick, really.
Yeah, a bit of a... Like, when I watch him, in terms of how he's able to evade defenders and get into space and just get around people or get up the field, a bit Tyreek Hill-ish. Now, not as fast, because Tyreek Hill's a different kind of fast. But just the way he moves and the way he's able to make plays like that, it kind of reminds me of Hill. Just the way he's able to get around the defense and find lanes and just get up the field. A bit of Tyreek Hill vibes to me. Now, he's not as bit of a I guess, route guy or a bit of a separator like Tyreek, because again, most of his catches came off of quick little dunk offs and screens.
Now that could be because of him as a player or just how Georgia decided to run their offensive scheme. It could be a mix of both. I don't know, but just based off what he did with the football in his hands, I don't know. I feel like there could be some real potential for him to be capable of more as a target, for him to be used with his route running. If he can, you know, get some more room in there or work on some improvement with his route running. And that could be a good spot for him at wide receiver three for him to do just that.
No, there's definitely room for improvement. And I think with a guy like Zakaria Branch is you don't have to worry about him having immediate like responsibility. This guy's purely a slot guy. Don't get that mixed up. 5'9", 177, purely a slot guy. But he wouldn't have unbelievable responsibilities immediately. Like to me, Branch wouldn't be the first receiver the Steelers select, in my opinion. Like, I think this guy is definitely like a double dip option early on. Like, you want to get someone that can work in the slot and then bounce outside. He has that versatility. By all means, select that early. If you want to get a guy like Branch, dare I say, round three, I think that would be a great double dip option because he also brings return specialist ability. He's that gadget guy. He's that yak person. He's that speedster. He's that smaller receiver that you can rely on to work in short and intermediate areas, right? That's the kind of guy that he's going to be.
And although he has a small stature at his position, he plays a lot bigger, stronger, and tougher than what his size says.
Agreed.
Did you see how many bench reps he had at the combine?
Yeah.
20. At 177, he had 20 bench reps.
Yeah, he's a strong little shit.
He is.
No offense, but he is. Reminds me of Calvin. Like, Calvin, he's not the biggest guy. Calvin isn't. But, man, could he take a hit and get back up and laugh at you?
Yeah, just dust himself off and be like, all right, bring it on.
Like that, yeah, Branch reminds me of that. Maybe a bit of a bigger ceiling, but I like Branch a lot.
But Branch, he's a tough guy. He's a tough wide receiver that brings good work ethic, consistent hands. Again, another receiver that hardly drops a football. And he brings NFL bloodlines to him because he is actually the nephew of Pro Football Hall of Fame wide receiver of the Raiders, former 3-time Super Bowl champion, Cliff Branch.
Yes.
So, you know, the Steelers love their bloodlines. It's something that they just crave about, that they love to look into. And the Steelers had a pro day dinner with Branch.
Yes, very, very, very telling. And they love their Bulldogs.
Yes,
can't get enough
do.
Of them.
That they do.
In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if they double dip at Georgia with a guy like Branch, or maybe they want to go for one of their corners or something like that, right? I wouldn't be surprised if they wanted, once again, dip their hand into the Georgia Bulldog jar and grab another great target and grab another great receiver or just prospect out of that school because they're just full of them. Branch is another one. Again, Branch wouldn't be the first receiver I select in this draft. I think he's a great double dip option early. He's someone that could bring in immediate return specialist duties as he had that at USC, which is where he started off his college career before going to Georgia. So he would start off there immediately while being a primary slot option and a good number four, eventual number three, as that receiver you can really rely on. And there's room to grow with this guy. Branch is a very exciting player. He's going to make for a very fun player to watch in the NFL.
That is.
Now, once he gets a lot of his route tree down and he works a lot more and starts opening up more himself as a receiver and working down the field more, he's going to be an exciting guy. But immediately to come in as, like I said, a double dip option, round three, maybe a little later, depending on how high he goes, right? He's going to make for a good pro, and I think is a real option for the Steelers when it comes to day two.
Now, another receiver that the Steelers could look at as far as day two goes, how about a Jeremy Bernard, wide receiver out of Alabama? He's another good-sized receiver that is big, strong, has reliable hands, and has an outside versatility.
Yeah, I think this guy's like a really realistic option at 53. Like, if they don't go receiver in the first round, I would not be shocked at all if they bring in Bernard at 53.
Considering that they did bring him in or are going to be bringing him in for a top 30 visit.
I think that's a really good option.
That is.
At 53. Like, I think he's another one of those safe and very reliable guys that you can trust, and he's going to just bring everything you want at the receiver position. He is a very underrated route receiver, very underrated route guy. Keep in mind, look at the fucking quarterbacks this guy's had to deal with at Bama the last however many years.
2 years. I mean, he started off at Michigan State, but he was used in a reserve role. Then he transferred to Washington, got some playing time, but then he transferred again to Alabama where he found a home in 2024. You want to tell me who his quarterback was in 2024? Jalen Milroe.
Yeah. I was about to say.
Jalen Milroe. I remember scouting Jalen Milroe last year, bro. I was not a fan. Athletic player, I'm not denying that one bit. Now he's the backup for Seattle. He's Super Bowl champion. Good for him. Very raw player, and Bernard was – he did what he could with Jalen Milroe as a quarterback.
But, dude, I remember, man. If I can find it, if I can find the clip, I'm going to put it here for y'all to watch because we were watching the tape. We were watching the All-22 tape. There were so many things going about Jalen Milroe that were irking me. Like, he relied on his single read too much or his accuracy was very bad. But he couldn't spot an open receiver to save his life.
No.
Bernard's wide open, and he's missing him. I'm like, bro.
Wide-ass open.
So, like, and don't forget who he had last year, Ty Simpson.
Yes. So, it goes to show, like, the quarterback play at Alabama, I mean, just two inconsistent quarterbacks. And what Bernard did, he put up some productive numbers with two mid quarterbacks, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Which goes to show his capabilities as a wide receiver. And just what he can do on the football field.
Well, let's put it this way. Two projects at quarterback under Bama, right?
Two projects at quarterback, and he put up 790 or more receiving yards in back-to-back years.
Pretty impressive.
And seven touchdowns last year, bro.
And only one drop. One drop off 102 targets last year.
That's it.
And like we mentioned, they did bring him in for a top 30 visit. So I think this guy is a very realistic, very good option at 53 for the Steelers if they don't go receiver in round one. And he's one I would be very happy with. Run after catch ability, route running, strong hands, good build, versatility to him. I like Bernard a lot.
And a guy that can block too. He's a very willing blocker.
Yeah.
Very capable. And I like Bernard a lot.
Yeah, he didn't miss a single snap.
Hardly misses a snap, bro.
How about a Ted Hurst out of Georgia State? You want a big body receiver that's actually athletic and has a big catch radius and a great wingspan? Ted Hurst is one of those guys, man. Like, this guy's Pickens light. And we know the kind of guy Pickens is. This guy has a Pickens ceiling. Like, if you want the next George Pickens, Ted Hurst can be that guy. 6'4", 206, only 21 years old. If the Steelers want to add more to the receiver room with that size, bro, go get a guy like Hurst day two. Like, he has that size, he has that speed ability, like I mentioned, unbelievable catch radius. Like, this guy plays and reminds me a lot of George Pickens. That's the guy I think he can be, except without the attitude issues, without the effort issues. That's what Ted Hurst can bring to the table. And the Steelers have shown interest in him. They talked to him during the combine. They sent a scout to his pro day. They have yet to bring him in for a top 30 visit. They got to use the rest of their six wisely.
Mm-hmm.
But keep in mind, they didn't even bring in Will Howard for a top 30 visit last year, and they still select him in the sixth round. Now, yes, that was later in the draft. They don't really bring in too many later round selections, right? So maybe that's me thinking they might not bring him in. They could still select a guy like Ted Hurst. Typically, their top 30 visits, their early selections, they want to bring those guys in mostly.
Those ones are telling, yes.
But Ted Hurst, hey, I still don't want to roll him out as an option because, I mean, he kind of matches what the Steelers want at the receiver position, don't they? They want the speed. They want the athleticism. They want the size. They want that bully mentality. They want that effort, right? Ted Hurst, man, he kind of checks all the box, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Now, his route tree isn't the most enticing. That's where he needs work. He's one of those guys where he'll beat you with speed. He'll go up. He'll win most of the 50-50 catches. His route tree needs work. It does. But I think that once he gets that down, you're looking at an almost complete package receiver.
For a man of that size, too, I find him to be a bit more athletic than a Denzel Boston. If the Steelers want to look at that direction of, you know, bully football, bully mentality, a wide receiver for a tall guy, if they want a more athletic guy at that size, Hurst brings that to the table. He's very reliable, capable. He's a 50-50 catcher. He's a red zone threat because he had 15 touchdowns in his two seasons at Georgia State. So, you know, he's more than capable of catching the football in the end zone if you need him to.
Right. I think this guy's a really good option day two. Again, might not be the first wide receiver selection I would have the Steelers do, more so like another double dip great option day three or day two, maybe day three if he falls. I just can't see him falling into day three, but crazier things have happened.
You never know.
Even still, I think that'd be great value as well. If they want to double dip with a guy like Ted Hurst early or later, depending on how it goes, I think that's a great option. One of the more underrated day two options is Antonio Williams, wide receiver out of Clemson. 5'11", 187, so maybe a bit of a smaller build than what the Steelers might want and what we're kind of looking for. But at only 21 years old, I think he can work outside. I don't want to rule that out, but I think he is primarily mostly going to be only like a slot option in the NFL. But
what's the fill in at wide receiver 3, which is what we need? That's a good spot for him.
I agree.
That's a good spot for him to start at.
Yeah, but like I mentioned, very underrated and a very stacked wide receiver position as we still talk about several more of these receivers to come, right? Yeah, he did have injuries that cost him games in 2023 and 2025. That might be a little concerning. That might have him fall later, day 3, which is where the Steelers could view him as maybe a good double-dip option, or if they are just looking a primarily slot guy, he could be one of those guys that they select at wide receiver if they want to address other positions early, which, you know, we mocked before. We've mocked Antonio Williams as our first receiver selected in one of our mocks before because we addressed other positions early. I don't hate that option at all. I think Antonio Williams is a very underrated receiver that's not getting talked about enough. He's one of those big play guys that is very reliable. 9 receiving touchdowns on 20 or more throws. I mean, that's very impressive. That's tied most in college football since 2024.
Yeah, and a strong route runner at that. You know, he has good tempo, good body control to get open. He has good speed, very good speed to burn defenders, and again, yak ability.
Another good aspect of his game is he is a very willing blocker. Not afraid to block, not afraid to put his body on the line. And he's another one of those receivers in this draft class that might not be the flashiest, but he's going to be one of the more reliable and dependable receivers that you could ask for. As a slot-only option, he's going to make for one of those in this draft class. Like, he's just someone that does all the good things right.
Yeah, he rarely makes a mistake. He goes out there and does his job, does what he needs to do. That's what you want.
Frankly, if you look at the roster right now, we don't have a backup outside receiver. We don't have a backup X, which is why we're so heavy on the Steelers double-dipping in this draft class at the wide receiver position, because we need depth. We need competition. We need that insurance. We just never know what injuries and the roster or however anything's going to pan out, right? You always got to be prepared. Receiver and the picks they have, it's stacked. They have too many of them. Go out and double dip and go get yourself another really good receiver and a guy like Stribling, where you can bring him in as a rester for Pittman or DK on the outside. He has receiving ability, big play ability, where he can work deep, he can work intermediate, he can work short. He's got a bit of yak ability to him. But if you want to bring him in as an early blocker on rundowns, he's easily going to be one of your best blocking receivers on the roster. It's Skowronek, and then it would probably be Pittman, and then probably Stribling, or any order you want in that factor, right? Stribling, you bring him in, you have him work special teams too. I think he can get his feet wet. You know, transferring from Oklahoma State to Ole Miss was a good fit for him. It worked for Chambliss. It worked for Stribling. He had 6 touchdowns, almost 900 yards. Like, he's a playmaker.
He built a really good connection with Chambliss at Ole Miss. And his play style, when you see it, it's, like you said, Juwan Jennings. You know, his comparison, I'd say, is pretty spot on. It's very similar. But his play style is very reminiscent of a prototypical Steelers wide receiver. A guy that's tall, speedy, lengthy, tough, competitive, and can block his ass off. One of the better blocking wide receivers in this draft class, I'd say, in my opinion. So I feel like the play style and just what he brings to the table, I find it to be a good fit with the team.
If they want to wait to day 3 for a guy like him, they did show interest. They talked to him at the combine, right? It could be one of those things where we don't have to rush receiver. We could wait till day 3 and we can go grab someone like Stribling later on and have him build his way up the roster. Very good value picking a guy like Stribling. Yeah, he's definitely one of my favorite day 3 options when it comes to this draft class. Receiver stacked, and for a day 3 selection, I think this guy's going to be good value in the 4th, dare I say 5th round. I think it's being disrespectful to how this guy plays. But you just never know. Players fall, you can get good value out of them. I think Stribling could be an option for the Steelers come day 3. When it comes to day 3 receivers for the Steelers, not only are they looking for depth and competition and essentially filling up the roster, you also got to look at it as a return specialist aspect or special teams. We don't have that on the roster right now. There's plenty of receivers in this class that they could select that could fill that role, which is where them double dipping a receiver day 3 is probably more of the realistic, maybe even a better spot, because at that point, you're addressing other needs early. You're still getting your receiver, your extra receiver, and you're also looking for essentially 2 birds with 1 stone. You're looking for depth, and you're looking for that return aspect. Some of the receivers we're going to mention here are kind of those guys that they could fill come day 3, and we're going to start off with Kevin Coleman out of Mizzou. Very, very, you know, Calvin build, 5'10", 179, but a bit of an under-the-radar guy. He's kind of a bit of an underrated slot weapon, a very, really stout route runner as he's able to get open. He's able to get up the field. Yeah, he's a small frame, but tough, very tough receivers. You know, you're noticing that more often is these smaller receivers. They make for one of the more reliable guys, right? I think this guy could be like another Khalil Shakir, dare I say, where primarily a slot option, but very reliable to start. But where his role is going to be day one for the Steelers, if he's selected, is he would be a return specialist. He would immediately start off as a punt returner for them.
And that's where Coleman would really bring his value immediately to the table, is as a punt returner. I mean, last year at Mizzou, he returned a 67-yard punt for a touchdown, so he showcases his capabilities there. But I do think he has some upside as a pass catcher, because he did showcase some reliability as a utility weapon, as a slot-only receiver there, but he still produced quite well, even with inconsistent quarterback play and inconsistent play as an offense as a whole over at Mizzou. Put up 732 yards and a single touchdown, but he was one of the more capable and one of the more under-the-radar receivers, in my opinion, in this draft class. As a later mid-to-later round option, I think he'd be a solid selection, but his immediate value would be special teams. And that's something that the Steelers still have to address, because we don't have one on the team right now.
Like we mentioned, return specialist ability, and one they did bring in for a top 30 visit, which could make for a very realistic day three option, is Kendrick Law out of Kentucky.
Law and order over here.
Yeah, law and order for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yeah, law and order for special teams, because we don't have a returner. We haven't really had a great returner in quite some time. I mean, Calvin had some good returns here and there, but, who else? Steven Sims had some decent returns. Deontay Spencer, I remember.
Ray-Ray McCloud.
Ray-Ray McCloud was solid, yes, but, you know, we really haven't had that long-term fix as a return specialist. That's Kendrick Law's immediate role. Yes, his receiving upside is pretty good as well, because, believe me, he's an athlete. Like, his combine, like, he was a combine warrior. Like, you know how these guys, they go to the combine, they show their athleticism, they put up good results. Kendrick Law put up some really good results.
Yeah, Law was one of them. I mean, true athletic upside. 4.45 40, 42-inch vertical, and 21 bench reps, even for his size. So he's got a very good build, bulky build there. But special teams, I mean, that's his ace right there, as a gunner and as a kick returner.
Yeah, because, you know, he doesn't have a lot of receiving upside. Now, it could definitely see some impact in the NFL as a rotational role, mostly in the slot, right? He started his career in Alabama, but didn't really find any role there outside of special teams, which is where special teams experience comes into play here. Then he transferred finally to Kentucky, where he finally found a role as an offensive weapon. Only 3 touchdowns, 540 yards. Majority of his catches really coming off of screens and dunks behind the line of scrimmage. So kind of a gadgety guy as well. Not much of a receiving upside. You know, his offensive aspect really could be expanded. But again, you're bringing this guy in primarily as a return specialist and a gunner, because he can do both. Like, he can return kicks and he can gun them too. Same thing with punts. And the interest is obviously there for the Steelers. Top 30 visit has already been checked off for that boat. Yeah, I think as a day three option to immediately start off as special teams and really just be that guy there on the roster at that position, yeah, he would severely bring in that need.
If we're talking special teams specifically and primarily, I mean, you can't get any better than Caden Wedgen.
Like, at this point, you're looking, like I mentioned, 6th, 7th round guys. Boom, go get this guy. Iowa Hawkeye, you know the Steelers love the Iowa guys. They've drafted 3 in the last 2 draft classes. Logan Lee,
Y.A. Black, and Caleb Johnson. Yes.
Who's to say they won't double dip at that school this year? Jennings Dunker is a tackle move to guard coming out. You know they might want to go after him because they need a guard. Who's to say they don't double dip at Iowa for a second straight year with a return specialist in Caden Wedgen?
And they met with him at the combine. So they've looked at him, and it's not hard to see why, considering, again, they need a return specialist. And in 3 years at Iowa, he returned 56 kicks for 1,538 yards, which is an average of 27.5, and 2 touchdowns, to pair with returning 54 punts for 954 yards, an average of 17.7, but had an average of 26.8 coming in 2025, which was an NCAA Division I record, and 4 touchdowns, with 3 of them coming in 2025. His 6 career return touchdowns at Iowa, is a school record.
Yes.
Yes.
So you want a dynamic return specialist? Yeah, go get this guy. Like if your goal for special teams, especially with a new special teams coordinator, is to, hey, we need better field position. We need to get up the field. We need to better our return game. Go get a guy like Caden Wedgen. You're talking 6th, 7th round, but by all means, it's a 6th or 7th round selection that you will not regret.
No, you just throw a flyer at one, and this is a man that has etched himself in history, in school history and college history at that. That's somebody that you can't really pass up on. That is no fluke. That is no joke. And that is a man that you need to fulfill, finally, both kick return responsibilities.
And don't forget, special teams matters.
Yes, it
does. Special teams count. Special teams wins you ball games. Just ask Tyler Loop.
I just wish that we had Danny Smith to pair with this guy.
I know. I miss Danny
Smith. Best of luck to him in Tampa Bay, though. You're going to love him, Bucks fans.
Yes, but special teams absolutely matters, man. This guy is, yeah, his credentials speak for itself. Like, and this guy's vision and the way he's able to get around the field and create lanes for himself is top-notch. You want a return specialist, man, go get this guy. But that's all we got. Those 13 wide receiver prospects that we have written down. Now, obviously, there are a lot more than just 13 wide receiver prospects that we've written down. There's so many more other really good receiver prospects in this draft class that'll make for good day one, day two, day three options. Receiver stacked. Like, you look at all the positions in this draft class, there's a lot of stacked positions. Linebacker, corner, safety, receiver. It's stacked like a motherfucker. But at receiver, man, there's so many that the Steelers can choose from. It's a good year for them to need receiver and double dip a receiver and have 12 picks to be able to do so. Here's some honorable mentions we didn't even list because, frankly, we don't know if the interest is there enough. We hope the interest is there for a couple of these guys, but based off of the evidence that we have, there's not enough interest.
But there's also guys here that are good fullback options, and it's not hard to see why. Chris Bell was one of them coming out of Louisville.
Yeah, Chris Bell, you know, he's another one of those guys with injury concerns. Like, if he didn't get hurt, how high would he go? Probably first round, but not enough interest. That I don't think the Steelers have shown. I could be wrong, but there's just not enough evidence there. Same thing with Chris Brazel. I want them to look at Chris Brazel more out of Tennessee. He's going to be an electric playmaker. Like, he reminds me a lot of what Bryant was coming out of Clemson. Martavis Bryant, obviously.
I see it a lot.
But again, I don't think there's enough interest there. Do they look at Tennessee receivers? Because, frankly, Tennessee is not one of the best schools to draft out of because their offensive scheme just doesn't really march onto the next level the best.
Not exactly, no. But Brazel's one of those guys that does stick out. I mean, his talent is through the roof.
Another one is Malachi Fields out of Notre Dame. I know he's a bit of a slower receiver. He's not the fastest guy. But he's got good build and strong hands to him. Jacoby Lane out of USC. Another USC Trojan receiver. I like him a lot, too. They've already looked at Mekhi Lemon. I'm sure they've looked at Jacoby Lane. But, you know, he could be another really good day three option. My only issue with him are effort concerns. Like, his play style reminds me of Pickens, but frankly, so does his effort. But I still like Lane because I think he's an underrated gem himself.
And another big body receiver. So is Bryce Lance out of North Dakota State. Was a great deep threat, great target for Cole Payton, who the Steelers did look at, by the way. So if they're looking at the quarterback, I'm sure that they at least had to take a peek at the wide receiver there, too.
Oh, Bryce Lance is nothing more than just a big playmaker. 20 yards per reception last year.
Yes.
Bryce Lance is what Christian Watson's a good receiver, don't get me wrong. But Bryce Lance is better, he's more athletic, and obviously a lot healthier. Elijah Surratt. They've looked at him. I'm sure they have because they're looked at Omar Cooper. But he was another very reliable target. I mean, a lot of the guys for Indiana were reliable targets, weren't they? There were Cooper. There was Charlie Becker. There was Elijah Surratt. Their running backs were good. Kalon Black specifically. You know, obviously their tight ends were reliable. But Surratt was a very, very good slot option. If you're looking for a slot option day two, maybe even day three, Surratt could be one of those guys. I also don't want to discount Josh Cameron out of Baylor.
No, I don't think you like, either.
He's a bit of a slower guy, too, but he's got good build and rarely dropped the ball last year himself. You know, Jeff Caldwell, too, out of Cincinnati. You want to look at an athletic specimen and someone with great size. I mean, he's kind of fits the box there, too. Receiver is stacked, man.
Like, it's loaded,
like,
dude.
This is a perfect class for the Steelers to really double dip, address, wherever or however they want to do it. I would like them to do it mad early if they want to wait till later on, they can do that too. Either way they want to go, I think they're going to get themselves some gems because there's too many of them in this class. Too many. And that's a good problem to have for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I still want them to address it early, and then wherever they want to draft another one, by any means, for whatever role they want, whether it's special teams, whether it's filling in that slot role, they want to build someone up, right, to work along whatever receiver they might want to select early on. Time's going to tell. We're getting closer to the NFL draft. We still got some top 30 visits they need to address. At least as of this recording, by the time this is uploaded, they could have already brought in some of these names. Maybe they didn't. We'll see. It makes me a little excited. But I would think that they address it early. We'll see what happens. Let us know your guys' thoughts down in the comments below. Any other receivers that we may or may not have mentioned, let us know down in the comments. Who are your favorite receivers in this draft? Who do you want them to select? How high do you want Steelers to select receiver in this draft class? So let us know your guys' thoughts down in the comments below. Otherwise, we'll see you in some more draft content later on. And hopefully we get some more top 30 visits for this position, because there's not many, but there's a few more that I really hope they bring in. And we'll see how that goes. Let us know your guys' thoughts, and we'll see you in the next one. Here we go, Steelers.
And as always, like, comment, subscribe, and we'll see you later.
Peace!